Hi, welcome to Standlib's weekly economic podcast. My name is Kevin Lings and I'm the chief economist within Standlib. The intention with these weekly podcasts is to unpack some of the key economic developments that have unfolded over the past week. And this week, I think we need to focus on Jerome Powell's speech at the Jackson Hole Symposium last week, Friday. Obviously, it changed the emphasis in terms of what the Fed is focusing on. And it significantly increased the chances that the Fed will cut interest rates by 25 basis points on 17 September. So I think we need to discuss that and why the Fed has shifted their emphasis. The second topic is South Africa's inflation data. We got the July numbers last week. And there is evidence of inflation moving up now at 3.5%. Obviously, part of that was the electricity price increase, as well as increases for water, sewerage and refuse removal. But for me, actually, the main concern was a fairly substantial increase in food prices. And in fact, over the last 4 months, food prices have been moving up quite appreciably. So I think it might be useful to just have a look at South Africa's inflation data, given that the Reserve Bank is now emphasizing the need to keep inflation at around the 3% level. And I think we can talk about some of the risks that are likely to manifest in South Africa's inflation outcomes over the coming year. So I think let's start with a discussion around the Federal Reserve and obviously Jerome Powell's speech at the Jackson Hole Symposium last week. To start the discussion, I think it's useful just to emphasize that the Federal Reserve has a dual mandate. That mandate says they've got to keep inflation under control at 2%, and at the same time, they've got to keep the labor market strong. There isn't a specific number that they have to focus on when it comes to the labor market, other than ensuring that the unemployment rate remains acceptably low. Now, up until very recently, the Fed has been emphasizing that they are concerned that inflation could become problematic. And that concern really reflects the increase in import tariffs and the real risk that those import tariffs feed into higher prices, and that ultimately becomes more inflation, and that the Fed needs to be mindful of that increase in prices, and therefore they have become reluctant to cut interest rates further. Instead, what the Fed has done is they've said we want to adopt a wait and see approach, and we want to ascertain how much of these tariff increases are going to feed into higher prices before we continue to cut rates. Obviously, they've come under huge pressure from the Trump administration and from the president himself, emphasizing that the Fed needs to cut rates in order to relieve pressure that is building up in the U.S. economy. And the Federal Reserve has, in general, resisted that pressure, highlighting that they need more information. Now, at the last FOMC meeting, two members of the FOMC dissented on the view. Those two members wanted the Fed to cut interest rates by 25 basis points. And one of them was a guy called Waller, who is part of the FOMC. And he said that he supports a cut of 25 basis points, essentially because he's worried about a weakness in the labor market. And he's concerned that as the labor market weakens, the Fed needs to cut rates in order to ensure that that weakness doesn't intensify. As it turned out, the Fed decided to keep rates on hold. And when we look at the minutes of that meeting, it was clear that at the time, the Fed was focusing on the upside risk to inflation rather than worrying about the downside risks to employment. Anyway, after that July FOMC meeting, we then got an update on the U.S. labor market situation, and the last labor market report showed a distinct weakening of labor market conditions in the U.S. The U.S. only added a few thousand jobs in the month of July, and then more importantly, in the previous 2 months, the data was revised extensively lower. And when we look at the data in its totality, what we realize is, yes, the U.S. labor market has gone appreciably softer. And so at the Jackson Hole event, what Jerome Powell then said was, we are also worried about the weakness in the labor market, and that worry around the labor market justifies a change in interest rate policy. And what that means is effectively that they have set themselves up to cut interest rates 25 basis points at the next FOMC meeting on 17 September. So that's a significant change in emphasis. And clearly it supports Waller's view to dissent on the decision to keep rates on hold. And so the market reacted very positively to that, both bond market and equity markets. And clearly now that is the firm expectation. There is more information that's going to be made available before the 17th of September. In particular, there's another inflation report out of the US, and there's also another employment report. But I guess you would assume that those reports have to be wildly out of line in order to change the likely decision on 17 September that the Fed will cut 25 basis points. It's going to take a lot for the Fed to not cut. Of course, by emphasizing last Friday that they've changed their policy focus and that they're now emphasizing the weakness in the labor market, they've effectively pre-committed themselves to a interest rate cut. Beyond that, it's a little bit unsure as to how the Fed will approach interest rates. The general expectation is they will continue to cut rates during the remainder of this year and into next year, but how much are they going to cut? And I think the best bet at this stage is they will skip the October meeting, in other words, keep rates on hold in October and then cut again in December, and that would set them up for two interest rate cuts this year and then continue to cut rates next year. And I think by skipping the October meeting, that gives them a little bit more time to assess how things are turning out in terms of the impact of tariffs on inflation and obviously the ongoing weakness in the labor market, and then perhaps make a more informed decision. That doesn't mean they can't cut in September. If obviously the data has gone a lot softer by then yes, they would clearly cut in October and they would cut again in December. So there is the potential for three interest rate cuts this year. At this stage, our expectation is they only cut twice more, but then continue to cut during the course of next year. So it's a meaningful change in emphasis from the Federal Reserve. It's going to be a welcome change. Obviously, the Federal Reserve has been under enormous political pressure to change their stance on monetary policy. It's difficult to judge how much of that political pressure has really now forced them to change their view. I suspect some of it definitely has. Very difficult for a group of people to resist that type of pressure. But no matter how it's come about, it looks very likely that we'll now see the Fed resuming its interest rate cutting cycle. And what the markets are going to focus on is how deep are those interest rates cuts going to be. In other words, at what point does the Fed decide that they've cut interest rates far enough? At this stage, many people are assuming there's quite a few cuts that the Fed is able to put through over the coming 18 months. And clearly that would help to support the economy over the next 2 or 3 years. Second topic worth discussing today is the increase in South Africa's inflation numbers for the month of July. The information was produced last week by Stats SA, and during the month, prices went up 0.9%. Now, that's a fairly sizable increase in any particular month. Normally, we have got prices going up around about 0.2, 0.3, sometimes 0.4. So, a 0.9% is sizable. The main reason for that increase is this is the time of the year when we get the electricity price put up by the municipalities, and we also get water and refuse and sewage prices put up. And so a lot of those price effects relate to that annual increase, and they were to a large extent in line with expectations. There are some municipalities that don't put up prices in July. They end up only putting them through in August. So we'll see another effect during the course of next month. But in total, we're looking at low single-digit increase in electricity prices, slightly below 10% for water inflation, and then a bit above 6% for sewage and refuse removal. And clearly, those numbers are not helpful if you're trying to achieve a 3% inflation outcome. But as I say, they were pretty much in line with expectations. And I think we'll see similar increases during the course of next year. I don't think anything materially is going to change around the increase in some of those administered prices. So the focus actually was not on that this month. The focus was that the food prices went up also a fairly substantial 0.7% in the month. And if we look at food inflation over the last 4 months, there's been a very sizable increase month on month. Prior to that, in food inflation was well under control, but clearly things have changed a little bit in the last 4 months. And if we drill down into those increases, some of them do relate to fruit and vegetables, where that's partly a seasonal effect, simply because it's more difficult to produce food and fruit and vegetables during the winter months. But there is now a sizable increase in meat prices, and those meat prices relate particularly to beef prices. During the month, beef prices went up 28%. That's a massive increase. And what seems to be driving most of that increase is the foot and mouth disease, which obviously then changes people's demand for meat in terms of increased demand as the foot and mouth disease becomes more known, people worrying they're not going to get supply of meat. And so you kind of get panic buying, which then drives the price higher. But it's also possible that as we cull the herd, we'll have to go through a phase of restocking, and that restocking may also put some upward pressure on prices. Clearly, in current circumstances, we're likely to see consumers shift their buying behavior away from meat into other proteins such as chicken, but that in itself may create some price effects in other categories. So it's an unfortunate increase in inflation as a result of the food component, but it looks to me like it can continue on for a few more months. I don't think it gets completely out of hand. In other words, I don't think this is broad-based increase in food prices, but there's enough of an increase going on now that it will create some concern. And so I think what we've got to emphasize is that while the overall inflation rate sits at 3.5%, moving up from 3% the previous month, it's likely to continue to move higher. It's likely to go above 4%, approach 4.5% early next year. And clearly that's moving in the wrong direction from the Reserve Bank's perspective in terms of their desire to see us achieve a sustainable 3% inflation outcome. And so what it's emphasizing is going to be more difficult for the Reserve Bank to cut interest rates while inflation is moving in the wrong direction. Not impossible, but clearly the messaging around any possible rate cut is going to have to be carefully managed. So we're anticipating interest rates remaining on hold in the short term. And then once we get past this phase of inflation moving up above 4%, then hopefully we get more evidence that the underlying inflation rate is being managed. And then possibly the Reserve Bank can consider cutting interest rates. So I think we're now moving into a little bit of an unfortunate phase in terms of high inflation. After going through 9 months of South Africa's inflation rate remaining very, very behaved, very managed at around the 3% level. That's all from me for this week. Hope it makes some sense, and we'll catch up again next week. Please remember that Standard Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider in terms of the FASE Act. Also, this podcast should not be construed as advice.